Imagine facing death and still being more concerned about others than yourself. That's exactly what Paul does in 2 Timothy 4. In his final charge to Timothy, Paul emphasizes one thing: preach the word. In a world where people seek out messages that make them feel good, Paul urges us to stick to the truth of Scripture, regardless of whether it's popular or not. Be ready, Paul says. Are you ready? You can be. Here's Stephen Davey to teach you more.
In England, during the early 1500s, Bibles were written in Latin. They were considered the private property of the church. Only priests were allowed to read and interpret the scriptures. Well, one man challenged his religious world and laid the groundwork for what would become the English Reformation in church history. And it began when William Tyndale decided to translate the Bible into English so that, he said, the plowboy, that is, the farmhand, could have a copy of the Bible he could read by himself. Well, Tyndale's translation of the New Testament was eventually printed, and the medieval church mounted a vicious attack against it. Anyone found with a copy of Tyndale's Bible would be burned at the stake, often with that Bible tied around their neck. Tyndale himself was eventually captured, and after 18 months in prison, he also was burned at the stake. His last words before he died were these: Lord, open the eyes of the King of England. Well, nearly a century later, God would answer his prayer when King James of England authorized an English translation of the Bible. And here's the irony. When the first edition of the King James Bible was published in 1611, 90% of William Tyndale's translation was incorporated into it. O Lord, he had prayed, open the eyes of the King of England. God moved to answer that prayer 100 years later. Well, let me tell you, a similar prayer must have been prayed often by the Apostle Paul for the eyes of the emperor to be opened. And like William Tyndale, the Apostle Paul was going to pay for his commitment to Christ with his own life. Now, as Paul is writing chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, he's incarcerated in a prison that's been nicknamed the Rat's Nest. He knows his execution is just around the corner. He closes his final letter to Timothy then with some powerful words. And you might notice how solemn he sounds in his final charge here in verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Well, there you have it. The one thing that's most on Paul's mind as his own death approaches. He tells Timothy to preach the word. Now, he's already explained that the Bible is God-breathed, divinely inspired, and adequate for equipping every believer for life. And now he simply charges Timothy to preach it. Don't hold it back. In fact, this Greek word translated preach, kerusso, simply means to herald the message. So the pastor's role is not to communicate what he thinks, but what God thinks. He's not coming up with his own message. He's preaching God's message. I heard one pastor of a large church say that he didn't want to be called a preacher anymore. He wanted to be called a communicator. Well, let me tell you, a communicator can come up with his own message, but a preacher is a herald. In the days of old, a herald simply showed up and cried out, hear ye, and then he unrolled that message of the king, and he read it. Now, depending on the king's message, that herald, well, he might become rather unpopular. So Paul is reminding Timothy here to be ready in season and out of season. In other words, when it's convenient and when it's appreciated or when it's ridiculed and ignored. True biblical preaching will lead the preacher, verse 2, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Well, with that, Paul tells Timothy why his preaching isn't going to be very popular. Verse 3, "The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." Well, if that time hadn't arrived in Timothy's day, it sure has arrived today. The largest churches in our country today are led by pastors who refuse to confront sin, who refuse to point people to repentance and faith in Christ alone. People's ears are itching. They're just itching for somebody to tell them how to control their own destiny, how to, you know, declare their own potential. Now, keep this in mind. Rather than rail at all of them, Paul says here to just reach them. Verse 5, "As for you, Timothy, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Now, those last three words sum up Paul's final charge: fulfill your ministry. That is, fully and faithfully carry out every aspect of your pastoral duties. Well, with that, Paul writes some of the most moving words here in verse 6. "I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." Now, in Israel, a drink offering was poured on the lamb of sacrifice just before it was burned on the altar, and the smoke would ascend upward as a sweet-smelling mist. And Paul is saying here that he's happy to just be that little brief wisp of smoke ascending by his own death into the presence of Christ. He says here in verse 7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith." He's anticipating that eternal reward he writes about here in verse 8, a crown of righteousness. Now, this represents the gift of righteousness that is offered through Christ alone. So, by his words and what we observe in his works or his example, Paul is telling Timothy here essentially this: Timothy, press on. Don't give up. Don't change your message to accommodate a crowd. Stick to preaching the Word of God. Now, in the remainder of this chapter, we have Paul's final requests. He's effectively setting his affairs in order as he anticipates his soon death by the decree of Nero, the Roman emperor. His primary desire at this point is for Timothy to come and visit him. He says here in verse 9, "Do your best to come to me soon." He then explains here in verses 10 through 12, if you can imagine it, that only his friend, Dr. Luke, is with him. So, well, Paul's a little homesick. He's a little lonely. A man named Demas has abandoned Paul, and he's gone back into the world. His fellow workers here are scattered abroad in ministry. He writes, Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia, verse 10. In verse 12, Paul writes, Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Now, more than likely, Tychicus is heading there to Ephesus and to Pastor Timothy to deliver this letter we're calling 2 Timothy. Well, with that, Paul writes something wonderfully surprising here in verse 11. "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry." You might remember that Mark had abandoned Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, and Paul wasn't interested in using Mark ever again. Well, now he offers an interesting commentary and commendation of Mark's life. Evidently, over the years, Mark had matured, and, well, Paul had mellowed. This is a wonderful illustration, beloved, that failure does not have to be final. It's an opportunity to learn from our mistakes. Evidently, Mark did as well. Well, now, with that, Paul admits that he has three special needs. Now, these needs might seem unimportant for a man about to die, but as he's languishing in prison, Paul is writing with honest transparency. First, he's seeking assistance for his physical needs. He wants his heavy cloak to keep him warm in that cold prison. Second, he has intellectual and spiritual needs. Obviously, he asks for his books and his parchments. No doubt the parchments he mentions here were personal copies of Old Testament scriptures. The books that he mentions here would have included his collection of even secular authors. He had poetry from secular poets that he quoted in his letters. Then third, Paul has a request related to what we could call emotional needs. He simply wants his Christian friends to visit him, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with admitting that desire. Well, with that, Paul warns Timothy of a difficult opponent named Alexander. And then he admits with a touch of sadness, I read here, that nobody in the church in Rome stood with him in his defense at an earlier hearing. Still, with those disappointments, Paul is going to end his letter with optimism, forward thinking. He writes here in verse 18, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom." Well, with that, Paul concludes his letter in rather typical fashion. He sends greetings to his friends, fellow workers. He mentions them by name, which was a wonderful personal touch. This is his final farewell. And think about it, as you come to the end of this letter, you would have to admit, as I would eagerly admit, that he has indeed fought a good fight. He's finished his race. He's kept the faith. Well, let's model the Apostle Paul as we live for Christ today. Until we set sail again next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, the president of Wisdom International, and this is the Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called Preach the Word. Paul's final words in 2 Timothy are a powerful reminder that the most important task for every believer is to stay true to God's Word. Paul knew his end was near, but his focus remained on the mission to preach the Word and fulfill the ministry God had given him. No matter what you face, stick to the truth and let your life be a testament to the power of God's Word. In addition to being your teacher on this daily program, Stephen is also the president of Shepherd's Theological Seminary. His passion is to train and equip men and women for service to God. If you or someone you know is interested in graduate-level theological training, I invite you to learn more about the opportunities at Shepherd's. Visit wisdomonline.org/STS to find all the information you need to get started. Join us next time.